Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 6th of October, recording at 9:03 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, it's been pretty much of a massacre. The Asian markets were all down, and some big hits, 4 or 5%, Hang Seng, Nikkei, India, China. The European markets, rather, were down even more, with declines of 7 to 9% among indices. Wall Street had been down over 800 points at one stage about an hour ago, but then reduced that, halved it, more than halved it, but is still down sort of 3.5% and more on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Now, against that background, we had very strong moves in long-dated government bonds, not surprisingly. And the U.S. dollar surged again, with the U.S. dollar index up to 81.5. The yen surged even more. That's the strongest currency in the world right now. We see the U.S. dollar down to 101.61 against the yen, which is absolutely soared against everything else. And in precious metals, gold fought off an earlier decline. It's been a $50 range here on the day nearly, but it's currently $8.56. That's up nearly $22. Silver and silver was down, but platinum closed up 11 on the day. And grains and beans were limit down. Most agricultural commodities, all the agricultural commodities, were quite weak. Industrial metals were quite weak. Okay, what's going on here? Well, actually, in these industrial metals, copper I see down 22 cents. It's down to 2.46. So what's going on? Well, obviously, massive deleveraging and asset liquidation here in the markets. The TED spread today didn't do much on the upside, but more importantly, it hasn't come off. It's at record levels, as you know. And I've explained that on a number of occasions. That measures the difference between the LIBOR rate in London for dollars. That's the rate at which banks lend to each other. And the three-month treasury bill rate. And what we have is a situation where LIBOR is out around 3.85. So that's just way, way above any other level we've ever seen. It's twice as high, for instance, as what we saw immediately following the 1987 crash. And that has really caused the credit freeze to intensify and put stock markets in a tailspin, because people realize that if the credit markets are frozen, that the economy, forget all that skirting on the edge of recession, it just plunges deep into these economies plunge deep into recession. We're talking about Europe and the USA, with knock-on consequences inevitably for trade partners in other parts of the world. And why is the dollar so strong in here? Well, as you know, it all started, I think, probably with a deal with the Saudis, a little bit of intervention that near the historic lows, near the all-time lows. And that triggered short covering, which then triggered momentum demand. Then with stock markets weak as the deleveraging took place, that created a shortage of dollars as people sold assets for which they had paid dollars and needed dollars. And that's caused this to surge. Also, the dollar was a carry trade currency. And that was a fourth factor behind its strength. But the Japanese yen was, of course, an even more popular carry trade currency, and for a much longer time. And so we're seeing the strength there. And Owen has done a number of has produced an interesting section on the yen, and showing it against a number of different currencies. I think you'll like that. And what else to mention in here? Actually, apropos nothing, but when I said you'll be pleased to see this, there's a temporary problem with the site here, and so the posting of both comment of the day and this audio may be delayed beyond what we would normally expect, but that's being worked on by our techie people, and we will hope to have that up and running again as soon as possible. Now, back to these markets. What's going to break this? What's going to get the LIBOR down? Well, I don't know, really, but certainly it has concentrated the attention of central banks. Maybe they will have to start lending directly to companies to help with the credit problems. Maybe it involves taking more of the toxic leveraged vehicles off the bank's balance sheets. But whatever it takes, it needs to be done, and it needs to be done fairly quickly to prevent further economic damage from occurring in here. So that's a bad background for stock markets, because people are understandably reluctant to buy. They prefer to have cash. And now we're fretting about corporate profits, and understandably so, because the weaker economies are, the weaker corporate profits are going to be. Nevertheless, we've seen a lot of these downward accelerations before. They are always endings of at least near-term significance. And I think we're very likely to see an important medium-term low at some stage this month. But I will predicate that on a turn down in the TED spread and other equivalent measures of the premium that for banks lending to themselves is over the over the relevant short-term government paper. So. But I obviously don't assume that LIBOR is going to stay at these exalted levels for very long. When that does come down against the background of these accelerated stock markets, and I suspect it will be this month, and as I say, we should see a pretty good technical rally, but I'm thinking of this in terms of a mean reversion rally towards the declining 200-day moving averages on indices. Now, none of that would mean that the credit problems are completely out of the way. It does not mean that the bear markets overall are over. But I think, as I say, you know, the prospects for the rally are quite good, and as we know, that even downtrends seldom move in a straight line for very long, and when they do accelerate, as we've been seeing recently, they get good rebounds. Meanwhile, people feel comfortable with cash. They feel comfortable with gold, which is a good relative performer, although not necessarily an absolute performer. But that's in U.S. dollars, and gold's been doing quite well against other currencies which have underperformed the U.S. dollar recently. So that's pretty much the background here. Watch for some sort of all change later this month, and that will be signaled by a weaker or a narrowing TED spread, a rebound in stock markets, selling in the long-dated government bond futures, which have been very firm against this background, and a technical reaction in the US dollar and also the yen. When all that takes place, we'll probably see some temporary steadying action in the commodity markets. Now, on a longer term view, looking across the abyss, crevasse, valley, whatever you want to call it, the inflationary pressures that so concerned central banks late last year and earlier this year are being so dramatically and effectively wrung out of the system that we have really lurched sharply from fire over ice in terms of fire being inflation, ice being deflation, the inflation being the primary concern. This environment is very, very disinflationary and outright deflationary, and that will be a big concern for central banks, so they will be pumping a lot of liquidity into the system. That's why when we look take the long view, I maintain that there's a back to the future element in all of this. We're seeing all of these industrial commodities and the agricultural commodities come back to much, much cheaper levels. That will create some future opportunities for us as some of those which are just being sold willy-nilly begin to firm up once again. And we're also seeing stock markets driven down to levels that we certainly haven't seen for quite a while. Well, the concern will be the amount of base formation development that we do need to see. And with stock markets, I think that might be lengthy. With a number of commodities, that may also be lengthy. I have said all along that the only thing that would significantly interrupt the commodity supercycle would be a global recession. And it looks like that's exactly what we might end up with. I certainly assume that all of Europe and the USA are in recession. This does have a knock-on effect here. And I have said for some time that in terms of global growth, I'd back the trend, which was slowing, declining. So I think that probably IMF estimates are still a little bit too optimistic for global GDP growth. Now, that is bad news in terms of near-term corporate profits, but again, more deflationary pressures leading to more reflationary efforts. And I think that, you know, if we look at this overall outlook, so scary right now, but getting this climactic activity, I assume that we get some base development next year, and that should eventually set markets up for the next bull run, because we do not have a dollar crisis, so we do not have a crisis of rising long-term interest rates. We do no longer have an inflationary crisis. The one very frightening crisis that we do have that does persist right now is, of course, this credit freeze. Okay, now, and this is my last broadcast this week because I leave tomorrow for the United States, where I will be in Varennes and at Basin Harbor for the is it the 46th? I think it is, yes, the 46th Annual Contrary Opinion Forum, where I speak on Wednesday evening and again later on in a panel session. I know some subscribers are there. I look forward to seeing you, and my goodness, and we couldn't have a more interesting and challenging background, could we, for that event. So I look forward to that as well. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you, and I'll be back on Monday the 13th.